Okay. I'll have a go at these questions, see if I've understood them rightly. And please do, I'll be around at the end, so if there's anything that you didn't want to ask or didn't have time or whatever to, weren't sure how to phrase, do grab me afterwards, I'll be around for a bit longer. I've got four questions which I'll read out in the order, which I think they came sort of in the talks, how they arose. This is the first question, you talked about the danger of people controlling us and us being people pleasers. I want to please my husband. The Bible tells us that we should submit to our husbands. He's a Christian, brackets. How should I submit in this situation? Now, this is quite a big area and there could be very many different dimensions to this question and that relationship between husband and wife. But I suppose, fundamentally, how do we relate to our husbands when either we're tempted to let them control us, and that might be through us having some wrong understanding of how we relate to them as a husband, but it could also be because they're being manipulative or abusive in different ways. So obviously, this is quite a big variety of scenarios that could be here. I think the first thing I'd probably say to that is that I'm not married, so forgive me. I'm just speaking from what I guess my experience and I think what the Bible is telling me is that we should not idolise our husbands. And I guess idolatry is our big problem, isn't it, in the Christian life. We're minded to idolise all sorts of things, so all sorts of relationships. It could be our children, maybe the pressure, the things that we want for them that might not be quite what God wants for them and so on. And it could be the same in our relationship with our husbands, that that we are not sitting, relating rightly to God, and therefore we've got our relationship with our husband out of kilter, perhaps. So that could be one scenario where I guess it's something we need to address in ourselves. I guess our husbands could be controlling us because they are sinners, just like us. So just as we perhaps sometimes inadvertently or sometimes deliberately try and control other people, and we know we can be guilty of that, then I guess we have to make an allowance that our husband might be the same. And I guess the thing to do then is to keep being godly in that situation, so do be a godly wife in that situation. But obviously where that situation becomes abusive and manipulative in a dangerous and not a godly, you know, really not proper situation, then we probably have to take some sort of action and not just to stay in that situation. So we might need to go for help, and certainly perhaps talk to our pastor about that or somebody that we trust, and we may need to find some help. Just because our husband's a Christian doesn't mean that that can be a situation where we just keep submitting and exposing ourselves to that danger and that situation. Okay, so hopefully that's given you a sort of a spectrum of different scenarios. I'm sorry if that's not very adequate. This is a question about worry, and I really welcome this question because I realise looking out this audience today, and include myself, that we are all worriers and we're on a spectrum. We've got different kinds of worries for all sorts of reasons. This is the question. I want to obey Jesus' command not to worry, but I feel that I am by nature a bit of a worrier. So how do I respond to Jesus' command not to worry? I'd say go read the book, that's one good thing. But I think worry is a spiritual matter. I think sometimes we say, I'm a worrier, that's it, full stop, nothing's going to change. But actually, Jesus doesn't want to leave us the way we are. So it is a spiritual matter, and Jesus commands us not to worry. And I think the way particularly this book helpfully defines worry is over concern. Okay, it's right to be concerned. We should be concerned about all sorts of things. That means we take care and we take precautions and we're wise. That's a wisdom matter. But worry is when we're overly concerned in a way that is not godly, that takes us outside of that spectrum. And say we are all on a spectrum, and this book does helpfully has a chapter where it gets quite medical and it talks about some of the different disorders that we can have, things like phobias, panic attacks, OCD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I know myself, I've suffered myself from PTSD after an accident, so I know how, from my own experience, just how difficult that can be in different scenarios. And it's clear that, you know, God has given us medical means, hasn't he, and different services that can help us with those things, so we should make use of them. But it doesn't mean, I think, that there aren't answers in God's word too, and where we have got an over-concern about things that we shouldn't have, that the Bible should be continually shaping us, I guess challenging us, in the way that we respond to different situation. So I think we can make progress wherever we are on that spectrum. Okay. Brilliant. This question about evangelism. It says, Rachel very helpfully said that we should share the shepherd with others. If they're his, they'll recognise his voice. Can you explain more with regards to evangelism stroke predestination? You love to be asked about predestination, don't you? It's just what you're waiting for on an occasion like this. Well, fortunately, we've only got a few minutes, so that's good. So I'm sorry if I'm not going to answer this very satisfactorily, but we are all called to share the gospel, aren't we? That's the bottom line, actually. We are told to gossip, to speak, to live the gospel. We're gospel people. So in a sense, you can't but stop us, actually. If we're being Christians, we are being gospel-hearted, evangelizing type of people who want to tell people the best news in the world. So in a sense, it's not for us to say, well, I think that person might be one of the sheep, but that one definitely isn't, because A, we know how wrong we can be and that God has chosen us. Well, that's crazy, isn't it? But so I think what I'd say to that is that we just keep sharing the good news and we don't even stop really and think about, well, is that person in or out? We pray for them and we share the good news and we let God do his bit. We're just to be faithful, aren't we? And in a sense, it should become part of our DNA. It should be natural for us to share the gospel. And we all need encouragement with that, don't we? Because we're not very good at it. We find it hard. And then finally, how can we stay fresh at reading the Gospels? I said at the beginning that I wanted particularly the challenge, if you like, of speaking from the Gospel, because I know in some ways I've become over familiar with them. And so to unpack them a bit more and really be challenged by them in a fresh way is always a challenge for me too. I think just some things that I found helpful just to remember anyway, reading any part of the Bible, is to, even if we come to something like John 1, which perhaps we know quite well, just to be reading it prayerfully and expectantly and slowly. I think this world is crazy fast, isn't it, all the time, and we want to do things quickly. If we can just read things more slowly, I know for me, and just let those words, those ideas, those truths really hit home and meditate on them, really think about them, that's going to help me a lot, I think, actually take in what it's saying. And I think in the Gospels, it's so often not a do this, do that, which you might get more in the letters. It's much more instructional often in the letters. We get the Gospel there, but Paul is very much telling us, how do we apply this to our living? I think in the Gospels, the question we have to ask first of all is, what am I learning about Jesus here? What does a bigger understanding of who he is and what he's done, what should that actually do for me? How can I apply that big truth? So it's more, what am I learning about Jesus, rather than rushing to myself and what do I do? That kind of thing. And let those truths speak to our hearts. If our hearts are changed and our thinking and our affections are changed, then our behaviour will change, actually, won't it? If we're in love with somebody, our behaviour looks very different from when we're just lukewarm or cold towards somebody. And the Bible's like that with us, isn't it? We fall in love. The Bible's a love letter to us. And the other thing I'd say is teach Sunday school. I think teaching Sunday school or any children's work is brilliant for getting a better handle on any part of the Bible, but particularly the Gospels, because we have to really get it, don't we, if we're going to teach, in a sense, simple but profound truths to little ones. So for me, that's been a great thing. Yeah, I think that's what I was going to say.